How disappointing. The New York State Senate voted to reject marriage equality, leaving the majority of the people in the state who support the bill wondering, who are our senators representing? Why the hate?
But it's not all bad news. Family Ties star Meredith Baxter comes out of the closet as a woman-loving woman, ignoring the advice from her gal pal Rupert Everett to keep her lesbian-loving ways a secret, since openly gay actors have a harder time finding work in Hollywood.
Although Christmas is days away, Europeans are getting ready to celebrate St. Nick's Day, where the good kids get candy and the bad kids get coal, or even worse, they get taken away by Krampus, a demonic-looking figure with fur, horns, and a sexy long red tongue. Mark's friend Solitaire Miles joins us to give us the scoop on Santa's satanic sidekick.
Also making it big online, Lou Dobbs challenges the president. Will the former CNN anchor be Palin's bottom on the 2012 presidential ticket?
Strapped for cash this holiday season? A couple in the UK is turning to homemade porn as a new source of revenue for their wedding.
Twitter suicides.
Tips for the common cold.
And the woman named Jesus Christ.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Interactive Mail, the hottest gay chat line in North America.
Congratulations to all the winners of the Big Gay Kiss Contest and to Jason Dross from the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia. His sizzling video, True Love in Love Park, wins the top prize.
But we all win as Interactive Mail donates money to Marriage Equality USA in recognition of all the videos and photos that were submitted. Thanks to everyone who supported the contest. See the winning video and all the other hot entries at BigGayKiss.com, because a kiss ain't just a kiss.
Mark, I figured that it would be a really good idea to start the show with a new theme song.
A new theme song for a FAF?
For a FAF?
Yeah?
I kind of like hastily put it together.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, I'm going to sing it a cappella.
Okay.
Now, Mark and I, we've been together for a million years. And I bet together we'll be together for a million more.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, it's like I started breathing on the night we kissed. And I can't remember what I did before. What would we do, Mark, without gays? What would we do, Mark, without lesbians? And there ain't no thing that we can get each other through. What would we do, baby, without trannies? Sha-la-la-la.
You forgot the bisexuals in there.
Oh, they always forgot.
That sounds a lot like Family Ties to me.
I know. I couldn't come up with anything original for today's show. Sorry about that.
Well, and in celebration of Meredith Baxter coming out of the closet.
I know. You don't have to. You almost said Meredith Baxter Bernie.
I almost did.
You know she changed her name now.
Well, yeah, it's just Meredith Baxter now.
No, it's Meredith Baxter Leslie. Ay, Dios mío.
Oh, so she came out.
Salute to Jeff Barry and Tom Scott for the Family Tie lyrics. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who wrote the song.
Oh, really?
But they didn't sing it in the...
Well, that was actually a song, wasn't it?
There was
a
black woman who sang it. If you actually play that back, it's like some man hired to sound like the dad, but then it's like an African-American woman.
I want to say that. Wasn't that a regular song first, and then I think that was a regular song, and then they appropriated it for the show.
Well, it's not a very good song to begin with.
Well, you know.
What would we do, baby, without lesbians? You know, what would Lifetime do without Meredith Baxter Burney? Because she is part of the bedrock of the made-for-TV movie industry.
She's been in a lot of stuff. She's been in tons of stuff from time in memoriam. I think her career started like in the early 70s and just was in everything.
And so they said, you know, we need some... She's kind of bland, though. Look at the, well, you know what the look is on her face.
The look on her face, though, is like there's something about the way her face is shaped, yeah, and her nose and her mouth. If you look at it, and her eyes are kind of, her eyes and her forehead are kind of set back, and her nose and her mouth kind of come forward. So it's perfect for getting right up in that vagina and just like eating it out.
Watch out, ladies. Meredith Baxter Leslie's on the loose.
So what do you think of an actress whose career is over at the age of 61 decides to come out?
I just hope that she doesn't get together with Tracy Bame and make another miserable movie.
Oh, another Free Hannah?
Free Hannah. They were going, I was walking down the street when the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival was happening here in Chicago, and somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, Free Hannah." I said, "No, thank you. I don't want any.
Free Hannah is not a sequel to Free Willy, although it is 100% Willy free.
We're just kidding. But I don't know. The thing about it is, just because you don't have to be boring just because you're queer.
No.
You can be queer and be queer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she always struck me as kind of like she was the hippie. Like she was the hippie mom on that show.
Well, you know, the premise of the Family Ties.
Yeah, their parents were both kind of like 60s hippies, and then they became yuppie-ish, but they gave spawn to an uber yuppie who was
Republican.
Republican who was Michael J. Fox, who you had a crush on.
I had a crush on when I was a kid.
You did.
I was like, "Oh, Alex, you're so cute." His name was Alex. Mm-hmm. Just like also the character in the movie The Last Starfighter.
Oh.
I had crushes on both of them, and I liked them so much that I wanted to change my name when I was a kid to Alex. And for about a week, I had my parents and everybody in my house calling me Alex.
Are you sure it wasn't because you had a cousin, Alexandra?
Well, no. It was a little tranny moment.
I think
you can
so
call me Alexandra, but short for Alex. No, I was really in love with the boy from Last Starfighter, who played video games, and he was so good at the video games that he got to the final round that nobody could get to it, and it was a recruitment technique or recruitment device for an interstellar war.
Yeah, they use that same thing for Stargate Universe.
And actually, the U.S. Army does it now
online.
That's what. Have you gone to the U.S. Army's website? They have like video games that you can play.
Oh, really?
And you make it past a certain round, there's somebody knocking at your door, be like, "It's time to enlist.
You're going into outer space to fight against
the lizard people, the evildoers, the guy, the bald guy with a weird sword that looks like a testicles." Do you remember the movie?
Barely. It was such a bad movie.
The villain has this like wand.
Wasn't
or
he
something
playing asteroids?
It was like a shooting kind of thing.
Oh.
But and there was a interstellar con man named Max.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like real smooth. Hi, Scott Mullen. He's bugging me on Facebook. Hi, Scott. Mike Yeager, we're taping a show right now. We're turning it to you, our listeners. What is on your mind? What is hot? Mm. What are your questions? We have the answer. So everybody is on Twitter, on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Feast of Fun. Facebook, Feast of Fun as well. Search for us. Mike Yeager says, "We lost California, Maine, and New York. Mm-hmm. As a community, what are we doing wrong in the eye of the voting public? What more can we do?" It's always blame the victim, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
what is our fault? What is our
fault? What can we do more? Uh-huh. You know, let me tell you what, Mike, and the gay people, you're not sucking enough dick.
That's the thing. I think if we just started sucking straight dick, they'd vote for us, vote for our rights. Well, the weird thing about it, too, is like, you know, you have New York State, which 51% of the people in New York State support gay marriage. The problem is, I think a lot of those people are concentrated like in New York City, you know, in Manhattan,
Ithaca,
you know, or in
Cornell University.
But the rest, you have to realize, I mean, New York State is an Appalachian state. It's in the Appalachian Mountains. It's hillbilly country. So there are a lot
of sons of the soil, Mark.
It's a lot of hillbillies out there, too. So, you know, it's different. And those people can be, they're very conservative.
Well, does it mean just because you're, I mean, what does it mean to be conservative?
What surprised me the most, though, let me say this real quick, is that in the borough of Queens, which you would think, come on, it's Queens, those would be our allies. There were four representatives from Queens.
And we have their names.
No.
Let's go through their names right now here really fast.
These are the Democrats, right?
These are all. This is the Democratic Party failing you. All the Republicans voted against you. Listener,
they didn't get one Republican vote?
No. Not, as Barack Obama would say, no.
No.
No. So Joseph Adad Dabo.
Mm-hmm.
How can you forget that name? He's from Queens. He voted no.
No.
Daryl Albertine from Cape Vincent. No. Ruben Diaz from the Bronx. He voted no. Shirley Hunty from Queens voted no. Carl Kruger from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and Brooklyn's just chock full of the gays. Mm-hmm. No. Hiriam Monserrate from Queens. No. George Honorato from Queens. No. William Stachowski from Buffalo. No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're right. Yeah. People from Queens should be supporting the Queens.
I know, Queens. Come on, girls, get it together. I have to tell you, though, I watched a lot of the proceedings today, the debate on the internet.
YouTube.
Actually, I posted the link up to our site, mm-hmm. too, so you could watch it there. I have to say, these people that got up and talked, I mean, they were very impassioned. They told stories about why it's important. And I thought, you know, how do people listen to this and still say no? You know, they only had one person that said no, got up and spoke.
I think what's happening is that it's a money maker to fight against gay advancement.
Oh, yeah.
Or the advancement of gays and lesbians.
Been saying this for a long time.
Well, it's really becoming obvious that NOM, like National Organization of Marriage, mm-hmm. there's money to be made in fighting against the gays. Because
lots of money.
Yeah,
Maggie Gallagher is probably, you know, what's her paycheck a year? What is she doing with
Who's
that
money?
Maggie Gallagher is the head of NOM. Yeah. And so that's the thing. It's like, where are these people doing? What are they doing? Like, she's probably got polo horses, for all I know.
And I guess, let me read this. New York is one of the most politically liberal states in the country. Mm-hmm. Recent polls showed the majority of New York voters favored allowing same-sex couple to marry. But the state Senate voted down the legislation 38 votes to 24.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was going to pass. Governor Patterson. Is it Patterson or Pattinson? I'm right. Robert Pattinson is the star of Twilight. And I get so confused with these.
The other one doesn't see any light at all.
And he was pro-gay. What?
He's pro-gay. And he said, listen, it's a setback, but, you know, we're going to keep on moving forward. It's always darkest before the dawn. The
scales
will tip. They will tip someday.
As the Brady Bunch kids would say, you got to keep on moving, keep on moving. How does that song go?
I don't think that was them. I think that's something else.
Anyway, I'll refer to it on a different show. See, New York City Council Speaker Christine Queen said, this is a loss for everybody, every family in New York, not just every lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender New Yorker.
Yeah, because listen, there's kids growing up now that are 5 or 6 years old, and they hear these kinds of messages, oh, gays can't get married. And so you're affecting this whole generation of people. And, you know, eventually those people are going to grow up. And I don't know, eventually I think once these older people, you know, the 70s and 60s pluses pass on, we'll get it. But listen, who wants to wait 30 years? You shouldn't have to ask people to wait 30 years. It's
crazy. You don't
need
to wait. And that's why President Clinton said it beautifully. He says, do not wait. Mm-hmm. I don't know when he actually said this. He was speaking to college students. Mm-hmm. Don't wait till the political atmosphere of this country is in your favor for you to advance your agenda and to live the life you want to live. That's what President mm-hmm. Clinton said.
That's what he said. And I believe
I wish why couldn't President Clinton be president?
Why couldn't he stopped a couple of things he fucked up, man?
Boy,
don't
man.
Ask, don't tell, DOMA. I mean, we got to reverse your bullshit. And then people are like, and now people say, oh, give him Obama a break. Give him a chance. You know, cut him some slack. Listen, we cut some slack to Clinton and look where it got us. So no, there will be no cutting of the slack.
This Christmas, I ain't giving anybody any change. You know what I'm saying? Because I got to hold on to some of it myself. Just kidding. But oh, my goodness.
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And meanwhile, we can celebrate Meredith Baxter Leslie being a lesbian.
Why do we? Listen, I don't even necessarily feel like we need to celebrate her. Because it's like, listen, she's tired and she's old and she's not really relevant. Who cares?
Well, it's always, I don't know, it's like a baby being born when a celebrity comes out. It's like, yay!
We have a party for it. But weren't you saying, who was it?
Rupert Everett.
Rupert Everett was telling her not to come out.
He says that to everybody. Stay in the closet. I've actually said that to, given advice to one comedian.
Well, and I think for some people it's okay. And
if you can handle the heat, stay out of the kitchen. Don't expect to have any gay sex either.
Yeah, don't expect to,
And from the looks of this, mm-hmm. both this person I was giving advice to and Meredith Baxter Leslie, they don't get much play in the bedroom.
Well, Rupert Everett always talks, but he always has like outrageous things to say. You know, he used to be a hooker.
I think he still is.
He probably is. I bet you if you offered him money for sex, he'd do it.
How much money?
I don't know.
I wonder if he has had sex with Elton John before he was with David Furnish.
I don't know.
Because they kind of look like each other.
Do
brunettes,
they?
You know, tall. Although David Maybe. Furnish was a flight attendant.
I said that on the show before because I'm pretty sure I heard that and somebody wrote to tell me I was wrong. But they didn't say anything that really proved me wrong. They said he had some other job.
Yeah, but he worked as a flight attendant when, and that's how they met, is that Sir Elton John flew on his flight.
That's the story
I
heard.
And they went, would you like some in-flight service? And he said, absolutely. Absolutely, I love some in-flight service. Oh, bring me some of that in-flight service, Norma Jean. The candle burned out long before the... Anyways. I still can't get over Marilyn Monroe smoking that doobie with the lesbians.
I know.
Fierce.
The people have been smoking marijuana for a long time, forever. And so, you know, finally it's lucky it's becoming legal again.
And because it's becoming legal, we're seeing more and more home video footage or film footage
right.
of celebrities, Hollywood icons. Mm-hmm. If there's a Hollywood icon
who smokes pot,
it is Marilyn Monroe. And here she is, surrounded by thousands of lesbians. Okay, I'm exaggerating. Two. But two very mannish-looking women, and she's just piping down on that joint like there's no tomorrow. People are saying that it's actually tobacco, but when you smoke a cigarette, you don't smoke it in the same way.
Well, you can.
But she seemed like she was like
she didn't really. She inhaled it and put it right out. You know,
yeah, so
it
wasn't the same. There was a little bit.
I know when somebody looks stoned, and she looks stoned in that video.
She did.
Yeah.
So you're saying that she was stoned.
Absolutely. Her eyes are like half shut. She's like. Okay.
Mad Hatter on the forums is asking. He has a terrible cold.
Oh.
And he wants some advice from us.
Get plenty of sleep. Lots of liquids.
You know what I've been really enjoying last time I had a cold was ginger tea. Mm-hmm. So what you do is get yourself some black tea during the day or some chamomile in the evening, and you boil that with ginger, like just buy ginger and scrape it, and squeeze like half a lemon and 2 tablespoons of honey, and it's kind of strong, and you drink that, and it's really, really powerful and very healing.
And add some brandy to it and go to sleep.
Well, how do you prevent colds in the first place?
I don't know if there's much you can do. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Yeah. Quit being so dirty.
Don't be a dirty
pig.
Don't
pick your eyes or your nose.
You know one thing I've been doing that helps a lot? It was when I'm done at the gym, I use the blow dryer and blow my ears.
What?
To dry out my ears. They said that the ear canal is a sort of a gateway where the cold virus comes in.
You know, your mother said that to me before. If you feel like you're getting a cold, put some peroxide in your ears. I've done it, and it seems to...
Did it work?
Well, how do you know? Because you don't get the cold. But were you really going to get the cold anyway?
Well, it's like taking Beano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Beano, it's supposed to stop flatulence.
Yeah.
How do you know it works? Because it doesn't do anything.
Well,
nothing happens.
Yeah.
That's
so how do you know
it works? Because nothing happened.
So Lou Dobbs is challenging the president now. And I've said this before. In 2012, it's going to be Sarah Palin for president and Lou Dobbs for vice president. And
he's going to be her bitch.
Yes, he's going to be her bitch. And so now he's yelling at the president and he's saying, who the hell does this president think he is? Because Obama's contemplating some kind of climate change rules. You know, looking at things, examining things. Ooh. And so he's just like, climate change. So he's just freaking out. And he acts as though Obama is some kind of a dictator.
He is
he's got
a dictator of love. All presidents are dictators, aren't they?
No, they're not dictators. He's like, look, he's the president.
He's a vagina-tator.
I mean, you always get people that are going to say, you know, they said the same thing about Bush. But Bush, you know, he really was able to push things through. If Bush wanted something done, God damn it.
Well, because you have to say, if you're president of the United States, you have to add anything you want with Jesus told me to. And if you do that, nobody argues with Jesus.
Yeah.
Not even the Pope.
Right.
There's a cardinal saying that gays don't go to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Who is that guy?
I don't know. I read it. He was a cardinal. He said, gays don't go to heaven because it said so in the Bible. Paul said so. But then later on, he said, but it's not for us to discriminate against gays. That's for God to do. It's for God to discriminate and that we should be treated equally.
I started following Shirley Phelps from the God Hates Fags camp.
Westboro Baptist Church.
She's not on Twitter, but her daughter, Megan Phelps, is.
Oh, really?
Or I think her daughter, her cousin. I'm not sure exactly.
Or niece.
But she and I hung out and talked to her a little bit in Washington, D.C. We're gal pals.
Okay.
And I'm following her, and Jeff Ramone's like really pissed off at me because he's like... Well, because I was like,
what's her name?
I love that. Because I said to them, I said, hey, tell your mama. I said, hi, hugs to you and your family. Love you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was like, what the fuck? Like, it's making people's head explode that I would be friends with Shirley Phelps.
Right.
I'm not really friends with her.
No, we correspond.
We're cordial. Sometimes. We're friendly. We're friendly, but we're not friends. And I said, look, I admire their intensity. And at the end of the day,
their passion.
I think their actions help to make the world a more loving place, because I think it reminds the haters of how much violence is in their vocabulary, mm-hmm. and their language. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the Phelps family team up with National Organization of Marriage, mm-hmm. NOM.
Right.
I mean, if you really believe...
The problem is they don't team up with people because they really, the thing that they hate the most is hypocrisy. And they know that NOM is... They're hypocrites. We absolutely know that Maddie... What's her name again? Maggie Gallagher is a hypocrite.
Maggie Gallagher.
She's not perfect.
Not to be confused with Maggie Gyllenhaal, who is for gay marriage.
Yes.
Jeff Ramone said, it's interesting because in the end, they actually help make the world a loving place. I wrote back to Megan and to Jeff and said, your God may hate a lot of things, but that's okay. That's what gods do. That's their job. It's to complain and hate about shit.
You wrote that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It's true. Find me a religious deity that does not hate shit.
Is Jackie Hoffman a god?
Just because you hate a lot of stuff does not make you a deity, a fictitious character. She was in our house.
Okay.
She drank our drinks.
But she complained a lot about a lot of things.
She sure did.
Maybe she was God on Earth.
Well,
well, listen, there was a woman, her name was Dorothy Lola Killingworth, and she legally changed her name to Jesus Christ. And she was put on a jury panel, but they had to get rid of her because she just kept asking too many questions. And then she kept insisting her name was Jesus Christ. And
is it Jesus H. Christ?
No. Jesus Christ on a crux.
Why do people, when they say Jesus H. Christ, what does the H stand for?
I don't know.
You always hear that expression,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus H. Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what are you saying, hell in the middle?
Holy Christ, maybe.
Holy Christ?
I don't know.
Oh, you're the Catholic.
That's something for Google.
What does the H in Jesus H. Christ stand for? People, you can comment on this and our shows by including in your Twitter comment, FOF1022. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what our name? Our show's 1003.
Number?
It's 1103.
Oh, 1103. So it's, I'm sorry. So it's hashtag FOF1103. Explain to us, what does the H in Jesus H. Christ stand for?
So we're at the end of our fiscal year here at Feast of Fun. So I'm looking at creative ways to bring in some extra money. So I really like the way that this couple in the UK is doing something to pay for their wedding. They've been together for a while and they have 4 children together, but they've decided to make some porno films to pay for their wedding and their honeymoon to go to Hawaii.
Don't get any ideas, Mark.
They've made almost $2,500.
Well, maybe that is on second thought.
So
we're gonna be a little busy this Christmas.
Lisa's dripped hot wax on Tommy's chest, and just like they did in Madonna's 1993 film Body of Evidence, she spanks him with a paddle. How much money do you think, if I spank you, how much money do you think we get bringing that in?
I don't want to even contemplate that. We would be rich. It'll be beating me alive.
Fetish,
how much for beating
fetish
Fausto?
Videos, anyone?
How much for beating Fausto within an inch of his life?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the poll. It's like, let's on Facebook.
That link, though, is that up for feastoffun.com/iPhone?
It's not up, but I'm sorry. I just ran out of time because I was busy Photoshopping our faces onto Chinese opera drag queens.
And you did a
summer
wonderful
nettle.
Job.
It really looks great, wasn't it? And I also was able to bring back some of my old makeup techniques from my days when I used to be a fire-eating drag queen.
Oh, yeah, but it was all virtual.
Yeah, this is all virtual. So I had it. You know, the funny thing is when I was Photoshopping it together, and you can see all the fabulousness on feastoffun.com, I was reflecting on the hours it would take for me just to paint my face, what took an hour to create in Photoshop.
Wow.
So it was just sort of like, I was like, wow, it's a lot easier to paint virtual makeup on than it is to actually put it on for real. Too bad like life was, too bad life isn't like Photoshop.
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice. Change it around.
Yeah. But so we're staying here for the holidays and we're having a Christmas staycation, which means that we're going to be staying at home and working on a website and doing housekeeping, keeping up with the Joneses kind of stuff. People are writing here on our Facebook page. What's your favorite Meredith Baxter made for TV movie? I love A Woman Scorned, the Betty Broderick story.
That sounds familiar. Was she the woman that ran over her husband that was the doctor? I think that was.
I don't know.
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't really know many of her TV movies. I just kind of remember her as like being on The Love Boat or being like a guest on like Heart to Heart. And then, of course, the TV show. But other than that, I don't know.
Meredith, everybody's crazy and excited about Meredith Baxter and her lesbionics. And Gabrielle Pastrana, yo, can you hook me up with some Lady Gaga tickets? I'll do whatever it takes. Stunts, drag impressions. I don't even do drag on a regular basis.
Oh, I'm sure she'd want you for that then. Absolutely.
No, he's asking us if we can get him tickets to see Lady Gaga.
Sure, absolutely. Give me some money and I'll do it. Yeah,
I don't think you can even buy a ticket
now. Of course, as long as you have money, you can do anything.
Josh Mertens wants to know, do snakes have ears? Answer is no.
No.
But they can feel stuff on their body, so they're the vibration. They're
vibrations.
But they can't hear, like, if you're playing the violin near it, you can't hear it.
Are you sure it can't hear the vibrations?
No, it can feel the bass.
What I call its name?
Nope.
Can't hear that?
Nope. Nope.
Hmm.
And snakes don't have eyelids.
They don't.
They don't.
They don't have
ears or eyelids.
They have something that comes down, though, don't they?
They have like a film that protects, but it's not technically eyelids.
Ah.
That's why they're always looking around.
That's why they're always staring at you. They always
with
know.
Those eyes. Snakes.
You know, once you say you're going to commit Twitter or suicide on Twitter, you're always famous.
I know. Who wrote about Nick Starr again?
So Benjamin Popper wrote something for the Daily Beast, and he was talking about how can Twitter prevent suicide? Because a lot of people, you know, they're about to Twitter. They want to do that call for help. You know, used to call your ex-girlfriend or your boyfriend or a friend and be like, I just took a bunch of pills. And then, you know, you go and take it and wait for the ambulance to arrive. But now everybody's Twittering it. And so this person interviewed Nick, and Nick said he was really surprised that people, you know, called the police and sent him out to get him.
It's not the kind of, as a person who personally knows Nick Starr and who has interviewed him on the show, it's not the kind of feedback or attention he needs. He may be seeking it.
Right.
But this is not good attention. This is somebody who becomes more self-destructive the more attention he receives. Because he starts subconsciously tying the attention he's seeking with a self-destructive behavior.
Right.
And so now he's been doing all sorts of crazy things. He's been living homeless so he can save money for plastic surgery, for liposuction, because he feels like he's a gay who can't take off his shirt. And he feels that obese gays are inferior to other people. I mean, there's a laundry list of problems with this young man.
Right.
And we want to see him alive. And we feel that he has a lot to offer. I feel like he has a lot to offer. And I would... I would beg any person that's listening to this, please don't give him the self-destructive attention that he wants.
But that's half my fun on Facebook.
Don't do it, Mark.
Because he's always on Facebook. If
that boy commits suicide because you were giving him attention and he wanted an audience, because that's the danger with suicide. It's that sometimes you are successful as somebody who has contemplated.
But I don't
suicide.
Watch soap operas anymore, so it's kind of become my soap opera. That and Crystal Connors and
on Facebook. Crystal Connors is a close runner-up with Devin Green of the most entertaining Facebook page of the year. One thing that I've been doing is I've downloaded the 100 push-ups and the 200 sit-ups and 200 squats iPhone apps. Mm-hmm. We got no money from them whatsoever to talk about it on the show, but if you want to buy it on the iTunes Music Store, please click on our iTunes sidebar. There's a little cube there on the website first. And I've been keeping the peeps on Facebook tracks of my workout regimen. And everybody's like, woo, like cheering me.
You go.
But you know what? It's becoming addictive because I I usually, like, sometimes, like, at the end of the workouts, I skip the abdominal stuff or I don't do certain exercises as much. And it's training me, because I'm an attention-seeking person, to stay more regular with my exercise regimen.
You've made it part of your performance piece.
It is, exactly. And so if you're like me, listener, and if you, I recommend you try it out, and because it's going to reinforce your exercise routine.
And speaking of using the links, I got an email today from somebody that said they wanted to buy something through Amazon. So I just said, click on any Amazon link on our website. And they go, I can't find one. And so all you have to do is there's a search bar. Click the word, write in the word Amazon, and something will come up. It doesn't matter what link you follow, as long as you follow one of our links. Doesn't matter. So if you want to follow a link to a book, press on it. You know, maybe you don't want that book, you want another book, just move on. So anything that you buy from Amazon through our links, we get a little credit for.
Hey, honey, you know, Christmas is coming. What I'd like to get for Christmas is a Feast of Fun iPhone app. You go to feastoffun.com/iPhone. And you can contribute to our development cost for that. Or you can buy me a Canon D7 camera. I think it's called a D7, isn't it? I would love to have one. Because we take pictures almost every day. And it's besides the podcasting equipment, it's the second piece of equipment that I use the most.
What's always funny is like when people come over and we say, okay, we place them. It's because you can go to the website and you see what these pictures look like. And it's a lot of times it's the same picture every day. I mean, with a different guest. The way we're lined up. You know, our positions and stuff like that. And then people are always like, I'm like, oh, you know where to stand? I'm like, I do this every day. And they're always surprised by that. And I'm just like,
People don't think that we're putting out a podcast 5 days a week, but we do.
Right.
They think that they're the only guest.
You're the only person we've had all year.
And the only
this
episode
is the first
we've ever
time we've taken a picture.
And they're like, you guys are really good at this.
We're like, well, thank you.
I appreciate it.
That's why we win awards. Oh, we find out on December 12th whether we win the podcast award or not. For best GLBT podcast.
I feel like we already won.
Do you?
Because we were nominated for the top prize.
Yeah.
And being next to people, two of those podcasts reported last year that they earned $1.2 million in gross revenues.
What's 1% of that?
What's 1% of $1 million?
That'd be like $10,000, right?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm like, I'd like to see some of that money, honey.
I think we made 1% of that.
But it's like, we're the poorest and gayest in that list.
But you know, we're there.
We have heart.
We're there.
We got spirit, honey. Queer.
So it's going to be a podcast awards on December 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Because Todd, who runs the awards, he's in Hawaii. So I think it's like 8 a.m. for him or something like that.
I'm excited, though. I'm excited. To me, podcasting is a very, very complicated genre to be trying to make a living at and putting our heart and soul into. And it's very touching and very affirming when we receive a nomination like this and we're up against and standing shoulder to shoulder with some incredible people, both in our category and the GLBT category. Sometimes we don't feel the love from our queer peers in podcasting. Other times we do, you know, like certainly Joe from the Nido cast gave us the key to the city of Phoenix. I mean, if it's like that, like to me is like the best thing. One of the best things that happened to me.
It's like getting an award right there.
It was so awesome. And I know it wasn't officially from the city of Phoenix.
Don't tell people that.
Okay, I won't say it. It was officially from the city of Phoenix. Well, he's very active in the gay community.
Yes.
So technically it is.
It's the gay key.
It's the gay key. And so when we showed it to like Devin Green and Nadia Ginsburg and Selena Luna and Love B. Scott and all our celebrity friends in LA, it really impressed them. It was it was so awesome.
Wow.
And they're like, and of course, you know, we have the podcast awards where actually like have been voted on by millions of people.
Like
he said, it's like over several million people like voted last year and this year. So I'm always like blown away. It's like, I can't believe that, you know, little old me got nominated.
You did it, baby.
You did it.
We did it.
With your funny stuff. So I feel like I got what I wanted for Christmas.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Oh,
speaking of Christmas, coming up today is our December 5th is St. Nick's Day, which growing
up, December 25th was St. Nick's Day.
Well, that's Christmas.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas's Day is December 5th. And when I was growing up, there's always a couple of kids in my class that got extra candy on St. Nick's Day. I think they were Lutheran or something. I don't know. Or they were from some background that they gave out candy on
Scandinavian.
This day. I don't know
Swedish,
what they were. No, I don't
Norwegian.
Think it was that. I want to say it was maybe, German. I think it was German. Like German Lutherans maybe or something.
It's time to give.
And I was like, wait a second. You get candy? You're like, chocolate. Oh yeah, it's St. Nicholas's Day. I'm like, why don't I know about this? And so I remember talking to my mother about it. She's like, we don't do that in our family. You have Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That's it.
Well, your father was the kind of person that would buy a candy cane, break it up into tiny little pieces, and dole them out slowly, painfully.
Not slowly. He would do that because he was smart, because you don't give a small child a foot-long candy cane.
Mark, they sell little candy canes for children.
But it's not the same.
It's more fun. You get your own candy cane.
No, it's not.
Did you feel like you were part of a community because your father broke
absolutely
a log?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a candy cane stick with you.
Well, we always had those kind of candies at our family, those candy canes and things like that, and ribbon candies. My grandmother used to use
ribbon candies. What's up with the Krampus?
That I don't know. Like my friend Solitaire is on the Krampus rage. So that's why I was talking about St. Nick's, because St. Nick, December 5th, is also Krampus Day, too, when Krampus comes out. And Krampus is some kind of, I don't know, we got to call Solitaire and find out. She's raging about it right now.
It's considered Santa's satanic sidekick.
Okay, let's call her.
Solitaire, are you there on the line?
I'm here.
Solitaire, what is up with the Krampus?
Krampus.
But it's spelled K-R-A-M-P-U-S.
Yes.
And he's known as Santa's satanic sidekick. Right?
Something like that, yeah.
And he's your new god.
He's my new god, yeah. That long red tongue, I can't resist it.
Why are you so excited about Krampus?
Well, first of all, you have to say Krampus.
Krampus.
Yes, if you're German, you have to do that. Right?
Krampus.
Well, Mark and I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania, which has got a lot of Germans in it. In fact, Mark's mother is German. Her last name is Noblow, right? So your mom's Kraut, so you're like half Kraut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of German stuff in Pennsylvania, and we grew up with all of this, and nobody ever told us about the Krampus.
No, never.
Hold on a second. Mark's mother's maiden name is Noblow?
Noblow.
Noblow, see?
But you said Noblow.
Noblow, Noblow. I can't pronounce anything.
Yeah.
I think I like it. It's better than Riddick, my mother's maiden name.
Riddick?
Noblaw, it actually means garlic in German.
I thought it meant like no blowjobs.
No blowjobs. No, although when my mother talked about Clinton.
No blow.
Yeah, well, I remember when she was talking about Monica Lewinsky and what she did to Clinton. She goes, no woman of my generation would ever do that. That's right. So, honey, of course. I'm sure some people have.
Poor kitty.
There was a lot of Germans in Pennsylvania, but I never heard about it. But you did hear about St. Nick's Day. There was always one or two kids you went to school with that on St. Nick's Day got candy. And you're like, what? You got candy today?
Yes, on St. Nicholas's Day, it's traditional on the evening of December 5th for children to put their shoes either outside their door of their bedroom or outside of the house.
Uh-huh.
And St. Nicholas would come along and fill the shoes with treats like candy and fruit. But nobody ever talks about the Krampus, which is his alter ego or his evil sidekick. And the Krampus is who would come along, and if you were naughty and not nice, would leave you coal or might steal you away and eat you.
Ooh.
Oh, just like the devil. And he looks like the devil.
But poor Krampus, he really gets a bad rap. he gets his name from the word Krampen, which is an old German word for claw, because he's sort of this clawed, horned, devil-looking beast with a very long, like foot-long red tongue. Cloven hooves. And supposedly, he was originally a pagan god of the Bavarian area and the Alpine area. And before the Christians came along and Christianized everybody, you know, the Alpine people worshipped the Nordic gods like
Thor.
And Thor, and they also had the god Loki, who was kind of a trickster. And it's believed that this is who the Krampus might have been based on, although there are some fertility gods from that area that bear a striking resemblance to the Krampus. And in Austria, specifically in December, they had pagan orgies and fertility fests, which is sort of what a lot of people now are interested in when they celebrate Krampus Day, which is the 5th. It's the Krampus is always in the evening before St. Nick's. So there's a lot of things going on here. In Austria and in Germany specifically, some of the town ruffians will dress up in the Krampus outfits, which are like big furry outfits made out of goat and sheep skins, and they don these wonderful masks. You can find videos of this on YouTube. And I remember the first time I saw it, I thought it was insane. And they play like really bad German heavy metal or techno.
Oh, yeah. And they dance around big bonfires.
Well, because yeah, everybody knows really that loaded. Heavy metal is the devil's music.
Well, when I lived in Germany, I remember coming out of work one night and there was like the big bonfires in town. And then it was like some loud party and stuff going on. I was like, what's going on? They explained it to me, but I didn't quite get it. But up on the mountainsides, there was these big giant bonfires. So they were kind of like raves that people would have.
So they're all dressed up like the way we were for Halloween as the Wild Things, mm-hmm. where the Wild Things are.
Right.
Yeah. So it's sort of like that, but even more hideous and frightening because you don't forget that foot-long red.
Well, do you think he fell out of disuse like in our culture because he looks like the devil and people were afraid to associate the devil with Christmas?
Well, sure, definitely. Pardon my barking dogs. I would think that a lot of these super Christian people have like scared off the idea of the devil. But you know, in Germany and Austria, they have a lot of naughty children, so the parents had to terrorize their kids with like some kind of symbol of, you know, punishment.
Well, and I love all the old postcards too you can find online, and it's like he's always like attacking some women in their bed with his long giant tongue flicking out at them, and they're like half naked running from the Krampus.
There's this wonderful illustration that we'll post on the website, and it has a little boy or girl. But if you have a sailor suit, it's a boy, right?
Yes.
But he has curly hair and rosy cheeks like a little girl, and he's sitting on his what?
He's a German. They all have rosy cheeks.
And he's sitting on his horse, his little wooden horse, and the Krampus is on behind him trying to lick the little boy with his tongue.
Ooh.
And he has a basket of fruit.
Oh, he's got fruit?
I don't know. Can you explain the fruit metaphor, Solitaire?
Well, that's probably the fertility symbol. You know, they got it all screwed up because the Christians didn't want people running around having orgies in the winter because... You know, that wasn't a very Christian thing to do, but that was the pagan tradition was, you know, what else are you going to do when it's really cold out in Austria? You know, you're going to shack up. So I'd say that's probably like the fruit is the symbol of the fertility or, you know. But then again, they had to show that, you know, the Krampus was going to punish and frighten naughty children. So
one thing I have to say that my personal experience is dressing up as a hairy beast. And interacting with children during Halloween, it was a lot of fun to scare the children and be like, which one of you, what is it that Mark that you said?
Oh, I kept saying, because like we'd get these crowds of kids. I'm like, can we have a picture taken with you? I'm like, okay, but which one of you do we get to eat?
And inevitably, one of the siblings always ratted out the younger one.
Yeah, the younger ones never pointed to the older children and said, eat them. It was always the older ones pointing to the little ones. Eat them.
Well, the little ones are more tender.
They are. They are more tender.
So it was great because to see the siblings rat out the youngest one.
Well, I think, too, with the Krampus, too, people get confused because is he Santa's nemesis? Or sometimes he's portrayed as, he's been portrayed as his sidekick, his helper.
Yeah.
Well, there are two different types of parades that I've read about. I've not seen them because I've not been over in Germany during this time. But they have the December 5th, which is the Krampusnacht, which is the night of the Krampus, where, you know, people get together and they bring their kids out and the Krampus, like a bunch of guys will dress up as the Krampus and get really loaded and terrorize people. And then there's St. Nicholas Day, where sometimes St. Nicholas will be accompanied by a couple of Krampus and they'll march during the day and... supposedly, you know, Krampus is like the slave or the servant, or he's servile to St. Nicholas. That's how the Christians would have you celebrate the holiday.
Oh.
The real Krampus Fest, which was a lot of the festivals in the mountains in the Tyrol, it would just be fertility. And there was a big thing about the Krampus with his birch switch, which is a birch branch, and they would whip the young, fertile, single women in the village.
I should put on, did you see my Halloween costume?
Yes.
I should, because that almost looks like a Krampus outfit.
Go run down Lincoln Avenue.
At the German section.
We could recycle these costumes.
Oh, yeah, we could be Krampus.
But you need
horns.
But
do we have to do it today, though?
I have horns, honey.
You need big horns, and you need a long tongue.
I got it all.
And Mark has a pretty long tongue. No, stick out your tongue, let's see.
It's not that long. I don't need it to be long.
Well, you could buy a long tongue. You can go to Krampus.com And they're having a party, I'm not sure, in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, the only place in the States.
At the Café du Nord, which everybody is familiar. I think we were there.
Café du Nord? Really?
Yeah, it's 2117 Market Street on Sunday, December 6th. Doors open at 7 p.m. The show starts at 8. Featuring the Kit Roscoe Band, Nice, Hydrogen Babies, Man's Red Fire, Electric Boogie Dogs, and all sorts of fabulous things. Mm-hmm. It costs $10. I can't recommend it because I haven't been to it, but it looks like a good time.
Does it have a picture of a Krampus on it?
Oh, yeah. Krampus.com.
Oh, yes, website.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's the only place in the States. I will also be interviewing a live Krampus on my podcast this Saturday on Krampus Eve.
You've wrestled a real live Krampus?
I've got a real live Krampus all the way calling me from the Tyrol, and we're going to talk on Saturday on Blog Talk Radio. You can find my show at blogtalkradio.com/solitairemiles. The show is called Tones, and I haven't got him pinned down on the time yet. I think it's going to be at 2 o'clock p.m. Central. That's 3 o'clock Eastern, because, you know, he has to call all the way from Austria, so we have to get the time.
So it's nighttime for him.
Yeah, he's getting ready to go out and start.
Solitaire, it's the Krampus!
No, I have to be like this.
I'm here to talk to you!
Solitaire, it's the Krampus, and I'm here to talk... It is the Krampus, and I'm here to talk to you about myself.
I think it's time to bring back the Krampus.
Something like that.
Bring on the Krampus, people!
Let's get our funk on.
They can call in and ask the Krampus questions.
And the Krampus will answer.
He will talk and answer any questions. And he's got quite a sense of humor, I guess. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com.
Yes!
We'll put the link. Don't do that.
No, I'm just kidding. You can plug it. Go for it.
Get a chance to talk to the Krampus. Or Krampus, you're asking me all these questions.
I wanted to.
He could probably answer them a lot better.
So we could actually call during the taping.
I'm going to call.
Yes.
What time? Okay, one more time. It's blogtalkradio.com/solitairemiles.
Yes, and the podcast is called Tones. T-O-N-E-S.
So, that's too much for me information. We'll put up a link on the website. Okay. Too much for me to remember. But it's going to be, what time are you actually taping this?
I'm hoping we're going to do this at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Central time on Saturday.
On the day of the Krampus. So he's taking the day off of work.
Well, he's gonna chat with us for a few minutes before he goes out and starts whipping people and licking them.
Okay, so let's start, since you're a working musician with her own music, now the Emmys were, the Grammys.
Grammys were just announced.
And the song of the year goes to nominations is Beyonce with Single Ladies,
ooh,
Lady Gaga Poker Face, Maxwell Pretty Wings, Kings of Leon, You Somebody, and Taylor Swift You Belong to Me. So which one of these artists management company paid the Grammy people the most amount of money to win the award?
Oh, Beyonce probably.
And record of the year, Beyonce. Black Eyed Peas, King of Leon, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift. Who's your pick, Solitaire? Because I know you hate them all.
I'm a jazz singer. I don't know. I'd have to stick with Beyonce because I do think she's got a great voice.
I have to say, and in talking to everybody out there, and we are the pulse of America in our palm of our little podcasting hand. Not Beyonce, but Lady Gaga is gonna
be something.
Yeah, she's gonna sweep
She'll
it
win
out.
Something.
She's going to use her little dry vac and suck all those awards in.
Wow.
We'll see what happens. It's a
fierce battle, Beyonce versus Lady Gaga. For some gay people, that's making them have a brain
meltdown.
Their
heads are exploding.
Yeah.
It's an aneurysm.
Although I think, Beyonce certainly has improved in years, but I don't think she started out very strong. But I think she's improved as an artist. But Gaga, man, just popped on the scene and said, I am here, and I am queer-friendly, and I'm going to throw down.
What, bitches? Well, AC/DC got nominated for the Best Rock Album.
Really?
Yes.
They're making music?
They're back with Black Ice.
Wow.
They're famous for the song. What the hell did AC/DC do?
Oh, my God. There's so many songs.
One. Name one.
Huge. Back in Black.
Oh, that's
Big
right.
Big Balls. Who's
How does
got
Black
the biggest
and Black go, though?
Balls of them all. Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap.
Hey, 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 hey!
They had a huge amount of hits.
And they dress up like British school children, still to this day.
What's your favorite AC/DC song, Solitaire?
You know, in high school with all those boys that like drove Chevelles and like wore their leather jackets.
The Motorheads.
I hid from them. I was like the punk rock.
See, I think of AC/DC, I'll be on like a little more of grade school.
Do you know what AC/DC stands for, right?
It's bisexual.
It's alternative current, direct current. Mm-hmm. And it's an electronic term because when electrical systems in cities went from, I think, alternating from direct currents to alternating currents, they had to make appliances and components to be compliant with both types of electricity.
Which meant to be bisexual.
I thought it also meant all children's devil's children.
Oh, that's right. That's a good one.
Why did they name their band AC/DC anyways?
Because they were bisexual.
Is that really what it is?
Oh,
the Krampus would like the devil's.
Krampus would be good music for, or AC/DC would be definitely good music for Krampus.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out. I'm reading the whole Wikipedia.
Why is it
entry.
Called AC/DC? Because it's a band name. They don't make any sense.
Oh, there's a reason for everything.
Listen.
What
Solitaire,
else?
I want to thank you for explaining Krampus to us, and I'm going to call in on Saturday.
Oh, cool. I have no idea what he's going to say. It'll be fascinating.
Rawr, I hope he talks like that. Rawr.
So here's the answer to
what?
It. The band's founders, Malcolm and Angus Young, developed the idea for the band's name after their older sister saw the initials AC/DC on a sewing machine.
Wow.
They're
How
like,
gay
this
is that?
Sounds awesome.
That's rather gay, don't you think?
I think it's gay.
And guess what? The correct name way to pronounce their name, since they're from Europe,
AC/DC,
it's Aka Daka.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's what it says.
You're reading Wikipedia.
In Australia.
Oh my God. Is that how they say it in Australia?
Wikipedia does not lie.
Okay.
Oprah is gay, according to Wikipedia.
Only because you put it in there.
Well.
Poor Oprah.
Okay, Solitaire, we got to run because we're going to wrap some stuff up here. But okay, I'll call you Saturday.
Bye, people.
Bye, sweethearts. Mm.
Remember, folks, that today's Feast of Fun podcast is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you. Go to our website, feastoffun.com/iPhone, and make a contribution for our iPhone app.
And today's show was also brought to you in part by Interactive Mail, the hottest gay chat line in North America. Congratulations to all the winners of the Big Gay Kiss Contest. See the winning videos and all the other hot entries at biggaykiss.com, because a kiss ain't just a kiss.
In this case, it's one that I'm blowing to you, Mark.
Aw, big kisses back to you. Mm. And here's some for the audience.
Oh.
There. Did you
like
take
who?
That? Touch yourself while I do it.
Mm-hmm. Some to Carlos Diaz, to Seth, to Josh.
Do we have more questions on
that? Oh, there's a ton of them.
Okay, let's go through them real quick.
So we covered the snakes.
Okay.
Can you hook me up with Lady Gaga tickets?
Send me some money. I can do it. I think I probably will get a couple tickets for $1,000.
Keep talking. I've got to read these here. I usually have great losses before the great gain. Mike, I am sure of success. Jim
yes.
Leha. Okay, we asked that one. People are just kind of like really shocked about
anybody
the thing in New
voicemail?
York.
No, I don't think so. Thing. Okay. We'll save it for another show then if they
yeah.
do.
Yeah. They were really shocked and disappointed about New York City and
well, it never really had great chances of getting through. I mean, we kind of knew going in, didn't we, too? I was braced for it.
Oh, so Megan Phelps responded on Twitter.
What'd she say?
She said, dude, you are projecting.
You're projecting.
I say, oh, because Jeff Ramone first wrote... Oh, here we go. Ready?
Okay. How's this? Let's go.
This is my bitch fight that I started earlier in the beginning of the show. Now it's continuing with Megan Phelps. Dear Fausto, God hates a lot of people. See, Romulus 9, God's standard is only one that matters because that's the one you'll be judged by. Megan, we don't disagree. Your God hates is a bitchy queen. I mean... She's, you know, only a bitchy queen
Listen,
would be like,
so
I hate everybody.
What's the Twitters? Go.
I'm reading them. Okay. Give me some space, baby.
Okay.
You got to breathe.
All right.
Relax. Pull
okay.
back.
Because I, you're using too many words, so I know you're not going through the Twitter argument.
I'm explaining and translating. Because okay. in Twitter, you got to compress everything to 140
right.
characters. So, okay. so you got to sometimes explain it in here.
Okay.
Then she responded, so why not just worry your pretty little head about obeying him? Just wondering... Because I don't believe in your stupid God. End of the discussion.
Okay.
I don't.
No,
there's
you don't.
No, it's like, you. I don't believe in your God.
You are a non-believer.
She doesn't believe in my beliefs, and I don't believe in hers. Mm-hmm. That's okay, but we still could be friends.
Will your God judge her?
No. I'm not holding her to the same standards that she holds me.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. But we both can be friends and we can respect each other's human beings.
Okay.
God's a fussy bitch. For the supposed creator of your universe, he sure is a crabby about a lot of petty shit.
And this is you.
That's Jeff Ramone.
Okay.
And then Megan wrote back, you're projecting, dude. And then she wrote with a little smiley face. You know God's unyielding, yet you won't obey. How stupid are you? Oh, you calling Jeff Ramone stupid. Girl, Megan, don't go there.
I think Megan should become friends with Crystal Connors on Facebook.
They got a, that would be a,
let's friend suggest them.
The Twitter apocalypse.
Twitter apocalypse.
The apocalypse will not be on television, but it will be on Twitter in 140 characters or less.
Wowzy.
And so we're going to leave you with a little bit of music from the Toilet Boys. This is the song God and Monsters from the album Sex Music. Available on our website, feastoffun.com, home of fabulousness. You can follow us on Twitter, Feast of Fun. Include your hashtag FOF1023.
1103. Because that might throw people off, so you want to,
yes,
you
know. At 1103. And your comment will appear on the website.
Yeah, absolutely. And check this band out. You can find them on YouTube, too, because they have a video, and they're in drag.
Wow, they're fierce drag queen.
Not all of them. I think one of them is. I think the lead is.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you got something fabulous that you found on the internet, share it with us and the listeners and the audience. Go to feastoffun.com/fresh. How dare you not be fabulous?
Mm-hmm. I'm Mark Billion.
I'm Fausto Fernandez. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.